will meet you. How are you doing, church? Good evening. So this is a little bit of a treat for me because typically I would talk during the day. I would speak during the day. And so if I say morning or day or just realize it's, you know, because I'm not used to speaking at night. But what a joy and what a privilege. And we've got our online campus as well, so I get to talk to you. And if you've got your Bible, can you grab it? Because I want to pray for us tonight, because I believe God has a word for every single one of us. Do you? Do you believe you could walk out of here and God could have spoken to your situation tonight? A word just for you. That there would be something He would quicken in your heart and can change the trajectory of your week, your life even. But Father, we just thank You. We thank You. We thank You, God. We know there's so many things going on in our world, and Lord, we just speak to the storms and say, be still. Jesus, be with people in Florida. Father, tonight, I thank You. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit of God who is so present.
Thank You.
I thank You for Your word that is just revelation knowledge to each of us. And I pray, God, as I speak, Father, Lord, You would just anoint the words. Because I know You have a word for every single person here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So give someone next to you a high five. Bible high five, high five. When I'm with the girls, thank you to our create team. Thank you, thank you. When I'm with the girls, of course, I say, okay, just give the girl next to you a squeeze. Just squeeze her little muffin top.
Yeah.
And but we won't do that in here. Because of the boys in here too. So how are you doing? I am praying for Florida, and you know, Tampa, we have some very dear friends there, but also the U.S. office of Wototo is in Tampa, Florida as well, and they've just purchased a new building. In fact, I was due to go there, well, I'm planning to go there next week, I guess it all depends, but I'm just praying for this new building that they've just secured. God, just keep it safe in Jesus' name, and keep people safe. And but you know what, there's been a lot of talk in the news about Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma. And so I thought I'd just give you a little feel-good moment. Are you good with that? You want a little feel-good moment? Okay, so I found a real live Harvey and Irma. Do you want to see them? Where's Harvey and Irma? That is literally, that is Harvey and Irma, no joke. How adorable are they? Harvey's 104. And Irma's 93, and they've been married 75 years. So whatever you think about the storms, the, you know, these hurricanes, and they are the cutest little couple because they're like, because, you know, Irma's like 93, she's like, ooh, these storms, and they have our names, you know, how as older people say. But you know what? Do you know what this couple have done for a lot of their life? They have fostered over 120 children.
Wow.
Throughout their life. Isn't that awesome? So whatever you think about Harvey and Irma right now, down in Texas and Florida, there's a little feel-good moment. Oh, don't they look cute? Like, they just do. They look just happy. Happy, happy, happy. So I'm going to be speaking tonight about Rhythms of Grace. Actually, next week, you don't want to miss it as well, because obviously, in Sunday morning, we're talking about revival, but in Sunday night, we're going to be doing grace stories. And so there's going to be people sharing, and that's always really good, because when you see how God works in other people's lives, you're like, oh my gosh, and if He did that for them, what can He do for me? That's how I always take it, because it just builds my faith when I hear about what God has done. Doesn't that do that for you? And so I can't wait for next week, but we better get through this week, right? All right, so we're talking about rhythms of grace, and I love this scripture, and it will be very common to a lot of you. A lot of you would have read this in the Message translation. But this is what it says in Matthew 11, 29 to 30. Listen to this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Oh, gosh. Doesn't that sound lovely? Like, walk with me and come with me. The truth is, rhythms are very necessary for our life. Whether you like it or not, we were created by a God who is all about rhythm. In fact, rhythms are necessary for our health and function. We function with rhythms. Look at this in Genesis 1:5. The Bible says, God called the light day and the darkness night, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. And so began the first 24 hours, so began the story of creation. And so for the next 5 days, God created the world, very rhythmically, very systematically, but with rhythm. Interesting, isn't it? God created us for rhythm. If you don't really think he did, I want you to go and visit a couple who've just had a brand new baby. Go into their house when they're not sleeping. When they're up at 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. with a baby that doesn't sleep, and tell me that we're not all wired for rhythm. I laugh when I see these gorgeous posts of these beautiful mummies and daddies, and they're like, 4 hours straight sleep. Woo! How funny is that? Because people who have not crossed over into the parenting world are like, what are you, what? 4 hours of sleep and you're doing the happy dance? Yes, straight sleep. 4 hours of consecutive straight sleep. And with that, mom and dad, let me ask you something. If they get their baby sleeping really good during the day, are they happy? If it's not sleeping at night, Kina. You got the answer wrong. But if you have a baby that sleeps all day and is up all night, do I have happy mommy and daddy? No, because there's a rhythm. And the rhythm is at nighttime, we sleep. And daytime, we're awake. And so with new parents, they're trying to work that baby to a rhythm. We want you all awake during the day. You can be happy. You can, in fact, we really would like you to sleep during the day, but we're okay if you're awake all day, as long as you sleep all night, right? Because that's the aim of the game. Let's get this baby sleeping. But you know what? I can pinpoint many moments where grace has walked into my life, where the rhythm of grace has walked into my life. I was thinking about it just this week. Grace, covered in skin. When I was 15, any 15-year-olds in here? Any high schoolers in here? Gosh, don't we love high schoolers? Love the high schoolers. I was thinking about how wonderful high school is. And it is. It's kind of that age when you pretend you don't really have parents. I mean, you have them, but you don't want them to be known or shown. You don't want them to be on display. And nothing has really changed. I remember for me, my dad used to drive me to school every day, and I would pray on the way, God, please don't let there be anybody I know. Please don't. And he'd literally pull up outside, and I would swing the door and run into school like I didn't have a dad. Isn't that hilarious? And I think about my own kids when they were in high school. I remember Josh. I would tease him mercilessly when he went into his freshman year. Josh, I'm going to come and have lunch with you this week. I'm going to come and sit at the lunch table and get to know your friends. And he'd be like, Mom, you are not coming to lunch. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to come and I'm just going to hang out, you know, and I'm just going to sit there. It's all good. He's like, Mom, you're not coming. I mean, he would get really worked up to the point he'd say, Mom, if you come in there, I'm going to leave the lunch table and just pretend I don't know you. You did say that to me. You did say that to me. But you know what? I really honestly didn't care because I just thought it was so hilarious. I just enjoyed the teasing, you know? I'm going to come. Your mom's going to come. We've all seen those, you know, over-smothering mothers that can't leave the kids at high school door and are running in, right? No, not really. But I remember one time Alyssa as well, had a project due, and so Steve drove her on a Monday. It was a Monday, so it was his day off. And he ran into the car so quick he didn't have shoes. Well, that was all right until he pulled out in front of the school and he wanted to help her get the project out of the back of the car. And so he's standing outside at the trunk of the car with no shoes. And people that know Alyssa are walking by going, "Oh, Alyssa, your dad's cool. He's got no shoes. That's awesome." And she's like, "I'm going to kill my dad. I'm going to kill him." But nothing's changed since those days, has it? But I remember my dad would drive me to school, and then every afternoon, I'd walk home with my girlfriend. So, you know, we always want to get driven to school because we're always running late and you're always staying in bed till the very last minute. But every afternoon, I would walk home with my girlfriend. And it was on those afternoons, as a 15-year-old girl, where my girlfriend began this dialogue about Jesus. Initially, I would talk to her about, "You know what, I'm just so afraid of dying. I don't even know how randomly it came up." And then she began to talk to me. She was a Christian. Her family were Christians. And she began to talk to me about this man called Jesus. And grace was drawing me. It was through the rhythm of my daily life that grace walked in and introduced himself. He was clothed as my girlfriend. But that changed my life. It completely changed my life. Completely changed my life. I remember not long after that, you know, her parents drove me to church for years after that. Squashed me in a car, which would be illegal now. But they crammed me in their car. Because this church was 45 minutes from where we lived, and they drove me every week. But I remember as we were in church, people would talk about reading your Bible. And, you know, as it so happened, as a teenager, I had a horse. My parents, you know, graciously, I loved horses, and they bought me a horse. And every night, I would sit with that horse while it ate its dinner. And I don't know if you've ever sat with a horse that eats its dinner, but it takes a long time because it eats a whole lot. And, but you know what? That was a perfect opportunity for me to read my Bible. I had a Bible, so they said you should read your Bible. So I figured, I'll read my Bible. And so every afternoon or every evening, I would read my Bible. Read it from the front to the back. I didn't understand all of it, but that was the beginning of the rhythm of grace, of reading the Word in my life. The beginning of a development of a relationship. Then there was the rhythm of community group. And so I actually met Steve in a community group. And we used to, you know, go to community. Well, I was going for a little bit, and then he kind of got saved and started coming along. But it was in that community group, as Steve and I got to know each other and then started dating, that my girlfriend said to me, "Do you really know what you're doing dating him?" Because in their mind, he was a little rough and ready. And I remember saying to them, "You know what? Honestly, I still remember this conversation. I don't know. I like him. I feel like there's something there. But I don't know." And do you know what? In that community group with those girls, that was the beginning of the rhythm of grace in my life, of accountability. Of girls walking beside me because they loved me and they cared about me. Oh, they cared about him too. He had people discipling him. But they wanted to make sure that I was pursuing Jesus the way I was supposed to do it. And so sometimes when people, you know, I know we talk about community group, which is awesome. I can't wait for this semester. I've got a new community group starting this week. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. I was telling Seaboard, new friends and great, get to study the Word together. But, you know, sometimes we view community groups, you know, from wherever we've come from, we're like, and I just want to encourage you, every community group I've been a part of has been an absolute blessing to my life, right, to the point where I am better today because of the connections and friendships that I've formed in those groups. But again, I can see the hand of God, the rhythm of grace in my life. I can also pinpoint some moments where the rhythm of grace was not operating very well. And if I think back to Steve and my first year of marriage, there was not a lot of rhythm. There was a lot of bumping, a lot of bumps, a lot of prickly bits. But there were two 20-year-olds who loved Jesus with all their heart, but came from two completely different backgrounds, trying to figure this out. We're in church. I remember years later, one of my sister-in-laws, one of Steve's sisters, came to me and she said, "You know, when you guys were first married, we came to pop in and visit you, but we're walking up to the house, and we could hear you guys fighting so loud, so we just turned around and just left." And you know, if she'd have said that to me when I was 20, I would have been like, "Oh no, we weren't fighting. No, you don't understand. We were da 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 da." Because isn't that what we do? But now at 54, I'm like, oh man. Yeah, there was no rhythm and there was not a lot of grace in that first year. Thank you, Jesus, that you worked with us. You work with us. Boy, I am so grateful. In fact, I remember that first year coming home. You know, Steve worked and I worked and he used to get home before me. And we lived near a train station. And I used to catch the train to work and literally it was just a 5-minute walk. So just over the hill to our house. And I remember, again, we came from two completely different backgrounds. He has 4 siblings. There's 5 of them. I have 1 sibling. My dad comes home the same time every single day. It's like Leave It to Beaver. It's like this is, you know. His family, again, he grew up with alcoholic parents. There was a whole lot of noise and stuff going on. And so we get married, and he comes home from work before me, and he's the only one there. Well, that's no fun. And so I remember I'd be walking home from the train station. I'd just get over the hill, and I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, are you kidding me right now? We have a house full of people." What was I used to? Coming home to a quiet peace. I remember one time I just sat in the gutter. Right, that's it. I've just had it. I don't want to do this anymore. This is just really, really hard. There was no rhythm. And you know what? So many of us are living or have lived a little bit like this, trying to make sense of the rhythm of this life, trying to keep a sustainable pace, but many of us don't even have any rhythm on the inside. Our souls are just full of chaos. It's like Hurricane Irma. My gosh, I've got hurricane whatever inside of me. Katy Perry sings this song. Have you heard of it? Chained to the Rhythm. And it talks about the chaos that is going on this world. Will anything be enough, or do we all just push everything under the rug? We're a chain to the rhythm that keeps going on and on and on, and it makes no sense, and it's endless. In a world where everything can be available 24/7, where we never really turn off, we're almost wired in, right. Flight or fight is on the, that's how we live. It's chaotic, to say the least. Here's some cute little ballet dancers that I thought might kind of illustrate my point. Where's our little baby girls? Look at this. And I, you know, because I like ballet, we're just doing that for an illustration. Look at these little girls. How cute are they? They're all trying to keep up. Oh man, don't you just love it? So sweet. Oh man, she's trying so hard. Oh yeah, and we're trying to do it. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh, thank you guys. You know, that's kind of cute. And the reason why I showed you that is because many of us live just like that. We're looking at someone and we're trying to keep up. We got a smile on the outside, but on the inside, there's no rhythm to my life. I'm trying, but I just can't keep up. It's funny, isn't it? You know, if you've got a little toddler, because we've got a little grandson now, and you play music, and his little butt goes, because we're wired for rhythm. But honestly, when I think, when the Bible says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace, I just love that line. The unforced rhythms of grace, I feel like God himself had a very different idea. Because rhythm is so important to our everyday lives, and I think he saw it more like this. Thanks, guys. Oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, man. Man. Look at that. I mean, gosh. Flip. Thank you, guys. You might do CrossFit, but I bet you can't do that, hey? I just had to. Oh. What do you have to mess it up for? You have to mess it up. That is hilarious. But you know what? That takes, we start as the little girls or the little people. And because of weeks and weeks and weeks and days and days and days, we get that effortless look. As those girls are dancing, it's absolutely effortless. So I want the unforced rhythms of grace operating in my life.
Yeah.
Verse 29, this is what it says. How do I get that operating in my life, the unforced rhythms of grace? How do I get that even moving? How do I get that? How do I get the rhythm happening in my life? This is what Jesus said in verse 29. He says, walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. He doesn't just throw it out there and go, you know, just learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Just go ahead and learn it. He just says, no, walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Because I lived on that earth, remember? I know the chaos that's down there, remember? I'm going to help you do it. You know, in the NIV, that same verse, let's put up Matthew 11, 29 to 30. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. Next verse. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you know what they used to do? When you think about ox pulling, and ox are strong. They are such strong animals. And if you want to buy two big ox to pull your whatever, they cost a lot of money. So typically what they would do is buy one great big ox and one smaller ox. And that's, you know, when Jesus is talking about this, he's going, you know what? I'm not going to put anything ill-fitting on you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. In fact, where are my ox? Come up here, ox. Get up here. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come on. So here's the ox. And I specifically did this. But the Bible says, take my yoke. Now, some of you are thinking, well, how on earth am I going to fit? God, how is your yoke? How is this, the pressure of my life? But you see, the thing is, Jesus has got it. Well, he can be Jesus for the minute. Jesus has got it. He's carrying the heavy duty stuff. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Because, Luke, you're not going to feel it. This ox is going to, the big one, is going to feel most of the pressure. And that's what Jesus is saying to you. Look, walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Put this yoke over you. You think I'm just slamming all this life and stuff on you, but you don't know I've got this. And so he goes, walk with me and work with me. And so the little ox is like, well, I don't know about this and I want to go my own way. And Jesus is going, nope, you get into gear and you walk with me and you work with me and you watch how I do it. Thanks. We just got to have some ox. Just because. Walk with me. Walk beside me. Let's talk. Figure this out. Spend time with me. If I'm walking with Steve, he gets so annoyed if I'm 10 paces behind him. I'm usually 10 paces behind him because I'm taking it all in. But he wants me to walk beside him so he can talk to me and we can enjoy this journey together. And Jesus is saying, walk with me. Don't walk behind me. Walk with me. Work with me. Persevere when it gets tough. Yes, wear the restraints. When you want to run away from your life, you're not going to. Because my yoke is easy. It's not ill-fitting. I got you. I got you. I got you. Watch how I do it. How do I do it? How does he do it? Verse 29, I love this in the NIV. It says, I am gentle and humble in spirit. How does he do it? He's not trying to prove himself. Hey, I'm Jesus, Son of God. I need to be first. No, he said, I'm going to be the greatest. Serve all. No comparison, not on Instagram. My life's better than theirs. Woohoo. And I'm gentle and humble in spirit. Oh, don't get me wrong. The Bible says God is kind but not soft. It's no pushover. But he's gentle and humble in spirit. How do I do it? Humility. Loving people, serving them, preferring others before me. So you remember that little girl that was sitting in the gutter in her first year of marriage. She was just sitting there, not crying, ticked off actually. Jesus says, you know that husband of yours? Someone you're called to love. So you better go figure this out. Better get up off your tushy and get in your house and have a conversation and talk about it and resolve it. That coworker that pushes every one of your buttons, every single one, they are someone that Jesus loves. Darn it. I mean, why couldn't he just love everybody else and not them? I mean, have you ever thought that? Like, you really love that person? Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. That annoying neighbor, that unruly child, that unbearable family member. Yep, he loves them all. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Jesus calls us to a level of intimacy that's only sustained by his constant presence. I was telling Seaboard this morning that I probably spend more time on my knees, more time in the Word, more time worshiping God than I ever have. The song that I've been singing a lot lately is, Jesus, I will trust you. I will trust you. I know you'll never fail. I will trust you. I will. I will. And you know, when we're younger, we're enthusiastic. Everything is wonderful, amazing, awesome. But as we get older, the hits come. Life's not so easy. Things don't turn out the way that we had planned. And I think about a beautiful couple in the New Testament, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're a wonderful, godly couple. Bible says they were going through the motion. They'd waited 400 years for the Messiah. They were tired. They trusted God for a child. The baby never came. They loved God. They were going through the ritual of it. But something just was missing. And you know, as we get older, and I'm talking to me as I talk to our older people, it's so easy to lose the wonder. Right. It's so easy to get out of the rhythm. Oh, I tried that. Being in church, oh, I tried community group. Oh, I was in that rhythm, it was all right, and then someone offended me, and this happened, and that happened. And you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth are going through, because Christianity is not I checked my box, I came to church. It's like, no, I want your Thursday to be amazing too. So don't just check a box. You need to be in his presence and you need to connect him with God so that when you get to the Thursday meeting that you just are worried about, you're like, God, I just trust you. And so we pick up Zechariah and Elizabeth. They have gone through, it's Zechariah, he's part of the priest. And he's going in to light the incense. And you know what? He gets in there and he lights an incense and an angel comes. Can you believe that? Like, do you mean a real angel? Yes, a real angel. Right. Like came where he was. He was going into the temple to light the incense. An angel came. Oh my gosh, an angel came. So he's a little bit shocked. But you know what the angel said to him? You know what? You guys are going to have a baby. And you know what? Zechariah got out of the rhythm, because instead of going, oh my gosh, he's like, how can this happen? Listen to what he says. And this is for all of us who are, let's say, over 45. In Luke 1:18, the Bible says, Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. And you know what, church, as I read that, I went, God, I don't ever want to be the one. When God speaks, I miss it. I miss it because I've got out of the rhythm of walking and working and watching how he does it. Walk with him. Work with him. Watch how I do it. Walk with him. Work with him. Watch how I do it. I need to stay in the rhythm. The rhythm of his grace. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Do you know, it's when you say it, you go, you know what? I think I could do it.
Right.
Is that how you feel?
Right.
Walk with you, Jesus. Walk with you. Be in your presence. Prayer time. Having those quiet times at home as I sit on a chair, and I was talking to Seaboard this morning. You know, our staff read this book, Celebrations of Discipline. And they had this, what would you call it? Just a little exercise for us to do as we bring all the cares and concerns of the world to God. Because who knows, when you start to pray, it's like, okay, God, I love you, thank you, but oh God, I'm there, and then, okay, God, if you could take care of that, thanks. But this gentleman who wrote this book said, you know what, why don't you sit down on a chair? And he said, I want you to put your palms down on your legs, palms down, or on your knees. And he said, think about everything that's bothering you, every single thing. So you sit there and you just think about it. It could be kids, it could be money, it could be work, it could be life, it could be whatever. He said, and then when you've done it, you turn your palms up and you say, God, I'm waiting on you. I want to enjoy your presence. And then he said, if another little thought comes like, oh my gosh, but what about, palms down. We're just giving it all to God. Walk with him. Work with him. Watch how he does it. You know, life does get overwhelming. I'm going to ask the band to come. Life, it can, all of us, find ourselves in moments where we're like, whew, wow, where'd that come from? It's kind of a little bit of left field. And you know, for me, I just think back to that 15-year-old girl. And I wonder if grace didn't walk in those afternoons, where would I be? I don't know. I honestly don't. It's scary to me to think, because I was a little lost soul searching, and grace came. And so as I was reading my Bible and just figuring it out, all the, you know, how to, just trying to do this Christian journey, I used to sing just little songs. Isn't singing amazing? Like, if you start to sing, you can't be mad and sing. Like, you try and be mad and sing, you just can't. But I remember there were just little songs that I'd learn at church, little itty-bitty songs. And I would just start to sing them in my bedroom as I was on this journey of knowing Jesus better. So I'd sing them in my bedroom. I'd sing them to my horse. I'd sing them wherever. And you know what? The team have got a song for you. It's an old school, new school. But I just pray you can sit. If you want to stand, you can. whatever you are comfortable with, but they are going to sing this over you tonight. Thank you, team.